That's just example of the interfaces, web browser and the command line client. There are also some other clients, but these are the most important ones and most officially supported by us.
I want to talk a bit about build service project, because the build service project is the main element how packages and stuff in the build service is organized. Basically, as I just said, the project contains a set of packages. Normally, these packages are somehow depend on each other. So the toolchain package, you probably would have a toolchain project, or say an EFL project or something, or the kernel project. So it's on the technical side, it's packages that need each other and build with each other and should be built with each other. But it also, projects are used to reflect some social interconnections. So as said with the kernel or toolchain, there probably is a toolchain group that's responsible for the toolchain. And so for real life, normally you would have tried to mirror real life teams into build service projects. So maybe also there's a head of that team, and you would make that the head of the project, and this makes this guy responsible so for making sure that the packages in the project work. And if the project is in a good state, you can then submit all the sources back to some other project which maybe contains the stable code stream. That's how the build service mirrors somehow the development process. It's also the build service project define which repositories to build against. So in the example before, we had the Fedora, maybe here Fedora 15 repository and OpenSUSE Factory repository. So that's basically says I want to have that project built both for Fedora and Factory. And to the right side, you see that this is just an example. It's a PER6 packages, a PER6 packages, because I'm the per maintainer, also interested in PER6, of course. So this is Parrot is a virtual machine, and Raccoon is actual Perl interpreter. And to set up such a project, you configure at each repository that this repository should build against some other project's repository. So to come back for example, for the toolchain example or for the kernel example, maybe you want to have a different patch to the kernels, and then you branch the sources in your project, and you set up your project so that it builds against the old repository where it branched from. So it takes all the packages, say, from the Tizen 2.0 repository, except for the packages that you build in your local project. So this is how projects can be set up. And this, actually, you can do very, very fancy configurations. You can configure a path instead of just a single relation with that arrow here. So you can say, I want to use packages from that and that and that project. So say you want to try out in a new EFL version, but with the new kernel and something else. But keep the rest of the system, you can configure that with the repository paths here. So it's a very, very flexible way to set up things.
Yeah, we use it also for collaboration. So usually we have one stable project and only a very few people are allowed to write there. So usually they get branched, which is a full copy, but with a connection to the other project. And you can work there, or you do this because even when you have write access in the target, you want to branch it because you want to test something. You can build there, and then you can request it back, submit request it back, similar to a GitHub pull request. Yeah, that's just an example how it looks in the web UI. The difference to GitHub or GitTorius or so would be that you don't, as someone who gets a request to merge the stuff back, you see not only the source changes, you see also the build results. You see, okay, it still builds. You can also see or download and test it immediately, or you can apply additional QA tests on it before you decide to take it or not. So in that way, we can keep our core branch more stable and more, and and so we don't disturb other developers.
To take that one step further, another feature the build service has is the interconnect feature. So what you also can do is, and you can have multiple build service instances that talk to each other. So maybe you have the Tizen build service, but you have also your as an ISV, so you can run your private build service. But you can, and so you connect the two, and then you have access to all the sources and the binaries. Of course, only when the access control says you may access them. You have access to all the sources and the binaries of the Tizen build service. So an ISV can have the proprietary things, which for whatever reason he doesn't want to publish it on his local build service, but use the packages from the Tizen build service. And all the mechanisms, nice mechanisms we have in the build service, that's the automatic rebuilding, the automatic branch merging, all that will also work over the interconnect. So it's absolutely transparent. The last line here shows that we have over 90 different companies to connect our buildopensuse.org service. So for privacy reasons, the build service doesn't really send over what exactly company that is. So we can't tell exactly who connects to us, but we can tell you it's over 90 companies that connect to our build service. It's not just companies; it's universities and other people. Also some private folks trying out the build service. Oops, too much.
Yeah. So when you get started with a build service, when you do it for private reasons, there's an IRC channel, there's our community help, we have a mailing list. There are luckily not only we both answer, but there's really a community meanwhile. A part of that, when you want really to use it for production use, when you rely on it, that you are able to make your images for your products, the new thing is that we have now officially also a company who is offering professional support for it. It starts with consulting, with how to install it, how to set up the projects to match your workflows. But they also do debugging or even feature implementation. And yeah, given that our team, beside of us two, there's only a third guy, is relatively small at SUSE, they are really able to do most of the things themselves, but we back them by a contract. So that's B1 systems, and we really work very good together with them.
Of course, as a community, so we develop things, but normally as a company we want to have some turnaround time. You really need to have things fixed, it's better to have a company that backs you. And as SUSE, as our little team are focused on development, the build service, we really don't have time to do all the contract work. So we're very happy that we've now B1 that helps us with that. And some other companies maybe in the future as
well. Currently B1. Yeah, but we are of course also happy to see you on our community lists. For the near future, we plan to do the 2.5 release end of this year. From the SUSE side, we plan this product content tracking. That is a feature where we have one code stream. So for instance, our SUSE Linux Enterprise line, but we produce many products based on this code stream for many customers. And this is not something we need for OpenSUSE, but something for what we need internally for SUSE to maintain all our enterprise products, to be able to publish, to build an update once, but to publish it then to the right channels.
So you normally have a code stream with all packages, but then you produce products from them, and product normally contains a subset of the code stream. So there is at least that's how our enterprise product is done. So there's maybe the high availability product, which just contains the high availability packages, and there's the SDK, which contains the SDK packages, and then it's a costless. And we really have to know if there's a maintenance update, what exactly went to which product, and also what the product content tracking also contains is that you need to know what source exactly was released to the customer at what time. So you want to know what the versions reached, what versions reached the customers, maybe what versions just failed in better QA, better testing or QA. So this is really needed for enterprise, but it's also needed for other companies, and a couple of other companies ask us about that.
Yeah, another big thing is the cross-build. So if you have the bad luck that you can't use the good Intel CPUs, but you need to use some slow CPUs to build for, what we do already, what the MIGO project also is doing already, is emulating the target system with QEMU, so that you emulate the system, and this has the advantage that you don't need to tweak your spec files and your build description, so it's like building on the native hardware. But this has, of course, disadvantages, because you need to do the emulation, it's slower. So if you want to build with cross-build, if you are free to rebuild your to build your entire distribution in a way that you can write the spec files, which really compiles on Intel but targets ARM, for instance, then the build service was not a good choice so far, because you need to track then the Intel build dependencies and the ARM build dependencies, just as an example. There is a big company currently who is paying V1 systems to implement a feature that the build service is able to track both systems. So when you exchange the host compiler, it nevertheless recompiles the ARM stack.
And this, of course, are just the features. We also have some bug fixes. It's like the interconnect is currently a bit flaky if the other server isn't reachable, and so we try to improve the speed in which products are made. The product building with Kiwi is a bit slow, and so there's some speed improvements coming up for the 2.5 release. Yeah. So these are just the main features, but bug fixes, many bug fixes are also in the queue, of course.
And we may get more contributions, that's sure, that's also integrated then. And from just for the long view, it's the 2.6 release. The biggest thing what we plan there is to separate build results with QA results, so that that QA tests gets integrated. When you branch something, you do not only test building, but you also get the QA results directly, so that you always have two results, and that you nevertheless that the QA is maybe failing, you still get your RPM, you can still play with it, because you're not maybe not yet interested by the QA results. But when you submit requested to some other project, then the other project can decide if he wants to wait for the QA results or see that that nothing gets broken.
A big part of that QA integration is actually the user interface side, because you wanna show the QA results next to the package. So this is how to present the user with a good overview over which QA test failed and which QA test worked out.
This is another example of where we change is. Of course, we have QA in SUSE, but it's another place. So it's the same way as maintaining the maintainers and so on. We had this also before, but at another place. And in the daily work, as a packager, when you do your daily work, you just focus on your source, and if the result is not there, if the data you need to update is not there, then it will get outdated very soon. Or the packagers currently don't get in touch with the QA people at all, because they don't see the QA tests. They just get some months later a bug report. Forgot completely what they changed at that point of time. So what's our goal is really to bring these folks together, that they work with each other. And when the packager is updating a version, he gets immediately the results of the QA results, so he can fix it even before he's submitting it.
So this is about transparency.
Yeah.
So the outside world can see how the package state is and what's going on. So I'm one of the main teams of the build service. Yeah, and of course we have more package formats on other operating systems, and also what other companies like you guys here and other projects like you guys need. So we are really, if you have something that it's really lacking from build service, get in contact with us so that we know what's really missing and can prioritize our development. So, of course, normally we have a bit of a focus of the SUSE community and what's needed for SUSE, of course, as we work for them and get paid by them. Okay. To get in contact, there's this nice open build service org site. It was set up a couple of months ago. And you can, from that site, you can also download the appliances when you want to try out your own build service instance. But also get documentation, and there's a preliminary version of a book that's on it.
Yeah,
it's
being built. Very early built. Draft of a book.
Draft of the book, and how to get in touch with us. And when what's new, this contains everything that's going on with the build service. Okay. Thanks a lot for listening. Any questions there?
Dominic from Intel. I have a question about the remote use between OBSs. Actually, I have two questions, one being online and one being offline. In my current experience of using synchronization between two OBSs, if I found out that if you use a link and remote OBS is either down or the project has been removed, everything is deadlocked on your private OBS, so which probably is unworkable, to be honest. So I don't know if you plan to fix that, but it's just unusable. So the system doesn't work. Now, the alternative method is to use a download of demand, which is actually better, but... Now, if you use a download on demand and the repository is changing, you have to do a manual re-update of your XML repo description, which requires to have root access on the OBS server, which is not really acceptable. Are you planning to fix that?
The first problem, yes, of course. That's one of the things I want to work out in the really near future. It's actually something I wanted to fix already last year, but it got postponed because we really needed to get that maintenance stuff. Our bosses gave a bit of pressure on us. Work on that maintenance stuff. We really need the maintenance in there. So we postponed that fix to the next version. But yes, it's really the next couple of weeks and even in a month or two, it's going to be fixed. So what's planned is basically that currently the backend, the scheduler, speaks with other build services in a synchronous mode. So it sends a request and waits for the answer. So if the other server is very busy or the connection doesn't work out for whatever reason, then it blocks the local server. And so what's really needed is that we do the call asynchronously, and then when the answer comes back, we check the project, and then so that there really is no synchronous thing. And the other thing, as you said, that currently it doesn't even retry it, so it's the source, if there's it doesn't,
no,
it doesn't get the source,
it
just stays broken, it gets switches, yeah, to broken, source is broken, it stays broken, it doesn't retry it. But this is even easier to fix, actually. Okay.
And the second issue in that model are the performance. I don't know if you have done some tests, but downloading about the 300 megabytes, which is needed to compile Amigo, for example, will take several hours. So the performance of the link is appallingly low. That's something which would be worth to work on it to make it usable. You know, you have the stability of the link and the performance of the link.
Downloading via the interconnect the binaries?
You can do that, but yeah, it's cached on the local service.
But to build the cache takes several hours. So
no.
I did it last week.
At least in our tests, when I ever build a new appliance, one of the tests is to build against our standard distributions, and it takes... Also, I think about 300 megabytes to download the base package.
I will send you my result of test, you know, because I do it quite often. So there might be a problem.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to understand.
That sounds like something with something going wrong with the code. Yeah. It works for us. But so.
My second question is about offline synchronization. So link and download on demand are great, but they are just for online synchronization. In quite often when you have people using OBS to deliver devices, which is quite a lot of us here, we don't want to really get on the public side, and what we would need is to be able to get a project, put it somewhere on an archive and send it to another OBS and not to have to rebuild it entirely. It's one of the huge problems that I see with OBS operation today. Have you, in your project line and your roadmap, this idea of capability to export a project in such a way that we don't have to rebuild it from scratch when we receive it at the remote end.
Yeah, so it's about mirroring the project, the remote project. That's what you speak about, right? So you want to mirror a project from a remote instance to your instance?
I'm building a 1001.0 for television, because that's my business, and I want to send it to one of our customers. So I want to be able to say, okay, my 1001.0 TV on my private OBS is not public because it's not yet open source. I just want to be able to pack it and send that file. But today what I have to do is that I have to send the source and the customer will have to rebuild everything, which means that if it's a distribution, it will have to bootstrap it, which is very long. We're taking here quite often more days than hours if you have to full bootstrap. So how could we export things without using the full? I know how to do it if I have root access, but is that something you're looking at?
What we have with the 2.3 release is that you can copy entire projects with one command, even including binaries. I'm not sure if this works about interconnect yet. I'm not sure about that.
But it
should be not hard to fix that. So it might be an option for you.
Yeah, we kind of work it out later on what's the best option to do.
I mean,
what will you need?
We were discussing with some customers about adding HA features to the build service so that you have high availability, that you have one server in US, one in Europe, one in Asia, and that you can zoom them. So some customers, there are many customers who are interested in it, but so far no one who wanted to pay for it. So so it is under discussion, but we have not. It's not in the roadmap in this, so that we have any date for that.
Okay, thanks.
So David?
David from the Mare Project. I've got a question about the QA stuff, actually, because Dominic mentioned that. We've actually got a process which we call the Mare Delivery System, which essentially allows you to take a snapshot of a project and use rsync because we want reliable copy, and it also provides you with a local web service which actually proxies the results of API calls. We were kind of thinking about we need to tidy it up, then submit it to perhaps the contrib directory as a possible solution. But if you want to take a look at that, that might address some of your needs. And it might be something you can base a proper solution on later. So my question was actually about the QA side of things. I'd be really interested to kind of look at what that separation is. And just to comment that one of the things we do with QA is to sometimes have to take these packages and run them off against a device. So what we want to do is basically take that package and initiate some activity on a device and actually see the results of that back. So I just wanted to kind of throw out there that when you start looking through that QA idea, we want to possibly offload that and be able to run that somewhere else and then get results back.
Yeah, so you heard that also from some other embedded forks that really need it.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of working on some kind of development system, so I'd love to hear if there's any preliminary shapes there, because we might come and hack on it for you.
That would be cool, yes. Thank you. Okay, anybody? Nope.
Actually, I don't have much pre-knowledge about OBS, so this may be a stupid question. Is there any other competitors for your building system? Would you compare your system with other systems? For example, Microsoft has their own build system. What is the main difference?
Other distributions, of course, have build systems as well. And so Fedora has Koji and Bodhi. But normally distributions have a build system that is tailored for their own needs and just their own needs. So there's normally... So we have a build system which really can build against multiple distributions and multiple architectures. This is I don't think we really have real competition there.
I mean, I think. I mean,
can
Ubuntu,
I be kind of?
Ubuntu
has he's asking you this question as a kind of a sales pitch. As customers, we kind of went out and looked for alternatives, and there was nothing that kind of offered the range of what they do. They're all focused on solving a distribution's problems. So that's just from a customer point of view. There's nothing
and
like
then,
that.
Then, of course, there are continuous integration platforms like Jenkins, but Jenkins doesn't offer that automatic rebuilding and branches and automatic merges features. So from the full package, I think it's really the build service is very unparalleled. There's no other system that matches it.
I mean, we have many. I mean, SGI or Dell or so, they are building systems which have nothing to do with SUSE operating systems, and Dell, even Ubuntu and so on. And but Launchpad is also open source, but it's not easy to, or maybe even impossible to install on your own, and it's not designed for building the entire distribution in this clean day. I think this is maybe something where we are a bit unique. I'm not aware that this approach really is implemented anywhere else.
Okay. Then, have a good lunch. Thank you for listening to us.
Thank you.